Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome. Good morning. 10 minutes past nine. Overcast in Johannesburg. Cloudy. Possible rain this afternoon. We've had good rains this past week. Welcome to the studio, my friend, Dr. Jonathan Mock. How are you today, Jonathan?
I'm fine this morning. This is my kind of weather. It's a little bit overcast and it's warmish. But were you caught in the storm? I think it was on Tuesday night.
No, I was home already. I wasn't in the storm.
It was incredible. I drove from here to medical school. There was an American psychiatrist, Professor Bernstein, who goes by the name of Samuel Shem. And he's also a novelist. And he's in his 70s, and he wrote a book called The House of God about 30 years ago. That became a cult book. It was a real dig at the current medical system in hospitals, you know, where you've got all these hierarchical systems, patriarchal, yes. Whatever. But it was so nice. I could have just put a yarmulke on him and I said, this could have been my Zeta. But anyway, it took me an hour to drive. They say that 4 centimeters, that's 40 millimeters, dropped within a half an hour. There was floods all over the show. But be that as it may, it was good for the...
We need it.
Well, my Huddle Park with all my ponds where I do mindfulness. And it's a week of recovery now, you know, back into routine. I'm into the Availus. But let's see where the show goes to go.
You know, we can't believe it's already today, the 1st of December.
Yes.
The year has gone so quick.
Yes.
And in exactly 11 days' time will be Hanukkah.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
I think we'll speak a little bit about Hanukkah.
Yes. Okay. And Hanukkah is early this year because normally Hanukkah falls out late in the year at the same time as the festive season.
Yes, yes.
Right. So we'll talk about Hanukkah and possibly next week some different halachas, you know, in the different communities.
Yes.
And as I said, it's December already. The year has gone so quickly.
Yes, it seems that the older you get, the quicker it goes.
Whether
that's a biological phenomenon or not, but the psychological idea that's thrown around a lot is that the older you get, the more structured your life becomes, but also you've got more memories. You know, you can go back into the past much more.
Correct.
And but it does seem it's amazing. When I don't know, when you were, let's say, a young boy of 10 at school, you know, primary school, and you had break, what they used to call break, from 10 to 15.
Yeah.
Those two, if you kept in for 2 minutes by the teacher, it seemed like to go on for eternity. A day was like a year. Whereas now, a year is like a day.
You know, that's what the youngsters, you talk to them, it's going so slowly this year,
yes,
they tell you.
Yes.
And for us, it just fleets. It just goes.
Because I think for most of us, that our lives are full. You know, if you go to shul, it's in the morning and the afternoon, and you've got all these issues and you've got friends. You know, that's all established. It seems the day just flows much quicker. But I think when you're a youngster, boy, you don't know what's coming next. And your memory system is still fairly empty. But it's a remarkable phenomenon that the older you get, the quicker life seems to go.
Go, yes.
Can't believe it. I mean, we had a wedding in Cape Town a year ago. But I think it was the 12th of December. That's a year ago, and it just seems like it was last week. I haven't been in Cape Town since, but if you ask me when I was in Cape Town, a week ago? No, it was actually a year ago.
Well, as you said, you're out of Availus, but you can't believe your mom, the late mother of blessed memory, has been dead 2 weeks already now.
Yes, going on to 3 weeks, yeah. Two and a half weeks, yeah.
It goes so quickly.
Yes, it's done, in a way. And now we move on. But also the Jewish calendar, you know, this thing about Shabbos, you know, countdown, you know, you're going to announce, I'm sure, the time's just not. It's again Shabbos. Every Friday I come here, it's Shabbos.
As a matter of fact, when I lay the table for Shabbos,
yes.
I remember just did it a week ago. It's gone so quickly. And then when it comes to the end of Shabbos, you know, then you, after you've made Havdalah, you can't believe it's another week and it's gone.
So it's been nice to see what the listeners say about time. But there is, unfortunately, those who are very lonely and isolated. and you know their lives are relatively empty, and time goes very slowly.
Very slowly
very
for them.
Very slowly, you know. How do they fill up the day? When you're busy and you've got meaning, your day flows from one thing to the next thing. But it can be, time can be very slow and very painful. I got a letter.
And an email from Nettie Sachs.
Yes. Do you give me permission to read it out?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. So this is, by the way, gone around the world, and I've already got family who have commented on it. Okay. So first of all, I'd like to thank Nettie for sending this in.
She wrote a poem because Jonathan spoke about his late mother, and she was very, very touched about when we spoke on that program.
Okay. So poetry on Friday. Okay. So I'll read exactly what Nettie wrote. This poem is dedicated in the merit of Miriam Moch, Miriam, but Benjamin Pinkus, having been inspired by Dr. Jonathan Moch after listening to him on Isaac Resnick's program, Reflections of the Past, on Chai FM. Dr. Moch clearly showed his love, devotion, and honor to his mother during her lifetime and after she was Nifta. This is the poem is called My Beloved Mother, who's going to swell with pride and say to her friends, my son Jonathan, the doctor. He's so clever, the best in his field. Was weiß Dr. Proctor? Who else, while struggling to make ends meet, would ensure that I attained the best education and would rather do without than stand in my way to find my future vocation? Who's going to phone every day and ask, are you busy? The answer would, of course, be, yes, Mom. Otherwise, she would have gone into quite a tizzy. Who's going to worry if I get a cold and knit me jerseys by the hundred, white, black, and blue? Beam when she saw me wearing one, told me, you look so nice, cockle-doodle-doo. Who's going to, no matter what the situation was, take my side, whether right or wrong, when I tearfully cried? The time came suddenly for your neshama, soul, to make its journey from the guf, the physical body. No more suffering or pain. I know your mother was gently beckoning to you to join her from another plane. Who's going to impart to me a mother's words of wisdom, unconditional love and devotion? I will miss you. My heart is broken and I feel a deep emotion. Memories will, however, linger on for the rest of my life. Bezrat Hashem, I have as my partner and mother to my children, Shira, my darling wife. May all mothers follow in the footsteps of our matriarchs from generation to generation, rearing their children to learn Torah and mitzvahs, multiplying into a strong, exemplary, and accomplished nation.
Beautifully, beautifully written. But, Shakawach, Neti, absolutely magnificent.
It's a hesped of sorts.
Yes.
And I think Rabbi Kurzlak used to say that Rabbi Eloy used to say to Rabbi Chazdan, or one Chazdan or Rabbi Eloy, after a funeral, they said, that you got a PhD.
Now, I was the one who gave him the PhD.
And what's a PhD?
We were driving back from the cemetery.
Yes.
We had done a funeral for the late Teddy Schneider, Dr. Teddy Schneider.
Yes, he was the doyen of physicians.
He was also a president of the Jewish Board of Deputies, very well known. And he delivered a magnificent hesped.
Sorry, who's this? Rabbi Eloy.
Eloy for the late Dr. Teddy Schneider. I'll give you the background afterwards. And we were driving back, and I said to Rabbi Eloy, today I'm going to give you a doctorate, a PhD. He says, a PhD? Well, what's meant? I said, perfect hesped deliverer.
Yeah.
So I came back to the office with Rabbi Eloy, of blessed memory, and sitting at the desk in the office was the late Bernie Kossoff. I don't know, many of our listeners remember. I hope Toby's listening. And Rabbi Eloy walked into the room. He said, you can wish me mazel tov, you can congratulate me. I've just been got an honorary doctorate, a PhD. So I was with Rabbi Eloy, and so Bernie Kossoff said, PhD? What? How did you manage to do that? He says, no, Mr. Resnick gave me the honorary degree, perfect hesped deliverer.
Yes. Right.
So I'll give the background to that in a few moments. We're taking a break, and we'll come back.
Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 Chai FM.
Welcome back. If you just tuned in, I was talking to Jonathan Moch about the late Rabbi Elo of blessed memory, where I honored him with a PhD. Mm. Now, the background to that is as follows. The late Teddy Schneider passed away on a Shabbat. And that evening, I got a call from Rabbi Alloy. We've got to go. They lived in Houghton. Mm. It was his late wife, Thelma. I think the daughter was overseas and the son was overseas, who was busy studying medicine as well. Mm. Mm. And we drove to the house in Houghton, and we came there, and we found the widow, Mrs. Schneider, sitting next to the mace of Dr. Teddy Schneider. The Chevra Kedisha hadn't arrived yet because it was after, you know, he died on Shabbos, and they were going to come afterwards. And we stayed with her for quite a while, and we had a long chat to her. She gave us a background about the late Teddy Schneider, etc., and we spent a couple of hours there. The funeral, unfortunately, took place a few days later. It should have been taken place the very next day. But the son was away. He had to come from America. And the daughter also had to come from overseas as well. Mm. So it was done at 1 or 2 days later. And that's where Rabbi Alloy delivered the hesped. Now, I used to take Rabbi Alloy, I would say, to all the funerals that he had to participate in, and some of them that even if he didn't, he still went to show his presence. It was on a Sunday, and we would leave, say, like 8 in the morning and not come back until 5 in the afternoon. The reason being, after the funerals, or if there were unveilings, consecrations, we would then go to all the hospitals and visit all the hospitals, whether it be at Mill Park, where it would be at the Rand Clinic or the Florence Nightingale if someone had given birth, or it was the Princess Nursing Home. The Lady Dudley in those days as well.
Cardiothoracic.
We would go to all the hospitals. And then Rabbi Loy would say, but we still haven't finished yet because we've got a couple of chasanas to go to. Wow. So we would go to, if there's a wedding that he was in, you know, that he knew, because don't forget he had retired from the Berea Shul, and then there was the other Rabbonim who were doing the chuppas and that, but he knew all the people who got married because of the parents. So we would pop in and do all the visits to the hospitals, and then the weddings, or if there was a bar mitzvah party or something like that, and get home late in the afternoon, and then I would bring him home to the Kutzak's residence there in Urania Street, which you were next door, you lived there, and deliver him there. Yes. And I say deliver because I brought him there, and I said, here he is, he's yours now.
He's exhausted. Feed him.
I brought him home.
And he can go to sleep.
I brought him home. So, or sometimes I would take him to his other daughter, to Winnie in Observatory Gurari, Avenue there, Gurari.
So let me get this correct. On a Sunday, he would start, davening or whatever, have a bit of breakfast, then off to for funerals. Yes. Then there might be unveilings, or that's at all West Park. Then after that, he would go to hospitals where people were sick. And then after that, there might be a wedding late afternoon, a chuppah. And then maybe in the evening, there was
a reception,
reception or a bar mitzvah or something. Wow. Sure. So last week we spoke about Friedman.
Who looked after her
son for 28 years.
Yes, Blume.
And Lofa.
Lofa, the Chaim Lofa, the Sadovskis.
So we're building up, because I think we're going to build up, hopefully, we're going to get to 36, you know, the Lamed Vav Tzadikim.
Yes.
And I think that these are people that don't make the news, but they just... They just go well beyond the duty of caring for others.
Yes. Now, you see, Rabbi Loy, during the week, if I was involved and I couldn't take him to a funeral or, you know, cemetery, he would get a lift to Clarendon Circle, I'm sure many of you remember, and he would stand on the corner, and he didn't have to even put his thumb up and ask for a lift. 20, 30 cars would pass and say, Rabbi Loy, come, let's go. And, you know, he always... Everybody knew they would give him a lift there. I'll give you an example as well. Once at the airport, he was coming back from overseas, and he got off the plane, he got his luggage, he was walking, he came to the entrance, everybody offered him a lift. He had no problems, nobody had to fetch him, right? And I remember once I did fetch him for a specific reason, because he landed, say, at 1 o'clock, and at 3 o'clock, it was a Wednesday afternoon, I can still remember it exactly, and we drove all the way to Eckstein Street, across the road from the... Maritz Brothers School. Yeah. Living there was Rabbi Chazdan, David Chazdan. And why did we go there? Because it was David Chazdan's son's opsherenis. And Rabbi Loy made it his business to go to every single function. You know, as I said, whether it was a funeral, unveiling, a hospital visit, a chasen, opsherenis, a bar mitzvah, he never missed any functions. Now you say the Lamed Vovniks. Every Friday, Rabbi Aloy had a little black book, and he would phone all the widows in Johannesburg that he knew, or some of the widowers, to wish them a good Shabbos. Many, you know, and I can tell you, it would take him a couple of hours to get through that whole list. But he made it his business to phone everybody, and I'm going to use it as a pun, religiously every Friday.
He was a religious fanatic too.
A religious fanatic.
He took it as a chumra, but it was natural. So I've got three very quick ones. I only got to know him late in life because when we moved to Observatory in 1994, he was about 85.
He was in his 80s because he died in 1998. Yeah.
So I remember him going to the yeshiva, Gedola, every Shabbos morning. And the Bochrim used to come and fetch him and take him from the yeshiva. So that was from our window. I shouted to my kids, there's Rabbi Erlogan. And there was with Talis walking, this very sagely man, just past our house. The other one was I was the psychiatrist for 7 years at Selwyn Siegel, honorary psychiatrist there. And he was a patron. And I remember they used to once a year have a concert. And he lived in Hillbrun. He phoned me for a lift, and I took him there and back. And he told me about, I think, cousins and aunties that I never knew existed. But he was like you, but more a genealogist. In other words, he could go very rapid. He knew the families and how they all connected. He was remarkable. And, at the airport, I think Butcher said, you know, my father didn't even have to worry for a lift because there was always somebody at the airport that would give him a lift. Yeah. So, one last abiding memory of him was that at the Yeshiva Gedola, Rabbi Golfan, Zeke the Tzalik
Brocha. Yes, your title will be tomorrow, 10 years.
Wow, 10 years. And he used to sit at the table at the Shulchan with Rabbi, and he used to ask Rabbi
Aloy
to give droshes, even when he was like 87, 88, he used to give droshes, yeah.
I just want to mention, you say now the Lamed Vovniks.
Yeah.
So you mentioned Selwyn Siegel.
Yeah.
We mustn't forget Jack Shapiro.
Oh, what a wonderful, Jack Shapiro, a wonderful man.
Went straight to Shemaim, it was Jack Shapiro. Yes. He gave his life for the children, for all everyone at the Selwyn Siegel. And you know, he also used to tell me, by the way, you know, I edited his book called, it's all about the streets of Dorfontein.
I was very upset about that because I heard after the fact, and it was just before his nifta. Didn't he launch it here?
I launched it with him here at Biyachad.
Have you got a copy?
I've got a copy. Of course, I've got the original script.
Yes.
I edited it for him. We sat for hours. So let me just say, Jack Shapiro always used to tell me how it affected him, not so much when the elders, residents used to come in, when they used to bring in babies.
Oh, yes.
But today they don't do that anymore. And, of course, you know, many, and I'm sorry to say this, many parents used to just drop off their children there and never see them again.
It was medical advice.
Yes.
Until 40, 50 years ago with Down syndrome,
yes,
that at 7 days, you take it to the Selwyn Siegel or any other institution. Right. It was just for Jews. It was the accepted advice by the medical establishment. You take to an institution and you never see the kid again.
You never see the kid again.
My good friends Larry and Heather Raff. And wasn't that Mr. Stain? Norman Stain.
Norman Stain.
He looks after them. And they had about 30 or 40 residents of the Selwyn Siegel. Now, remember, we often talk about it as children. I think that's a bit disparaging because most of them are now 40, 50, 60.
60, they lost.
They do have limitations mentally. But they walk and they go to shul and
they participate.
And the community and Yeshiva College. And I think the base under Rabbi Zulberg, they've taken them under the wing, and they try to see if they go out to people's homes for at least one Shabbos meal.
Right. We're taking a break. We'll be back in a moment.
Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. Just to remind you that Shabbat comes in this evening at 6:15, but the latest candle lighting time is 6:28. Mm-hmm. The Pasha is Vayishlach. Shabbat terminates tomorrow evening at 7:22 p.m. Okay. So now we're talking all about Tzadikim or Tzadikas, etc. And I mentioned Jack Shapiro. And there's so much to talk about Jack Shapiro. And you mentioned that you used to take the late Rabbi Eloy Tzatzal to concerts. Jack used to organize all these concerts and plays, etc. for them. And as you say, they weren't only children. They were, and some of them lived 50, 60 years old.
Yes.
All participated. And then Jack had another vision. And he had a vision, and he got involved, he asked to get involved, the late Mendel Kaplan.
Mm.
And Mendel Kaplan had purchased some ground for them in Michalisburg, and they called it Camp David.
Mm.
Now, it's not named after Camp David in America. Remember where they signed that agreement between Menachem Begin and Anwar Sadat, who was assassinated. It's named after Mendel Kaplan's son, David. So they called it Camp David.
Yes.
Yeah. And Jack then used to take all the residents for a holiday to Camp David.
I went to a few of them, yes.
Unbelievable.
Well, just past Michalisburg, and it was like this camp, like a summer camp.
Summer camp.
A swimming pool. And
all the facilities.
Yeah.
And another thing that Jack used to do, once a year, the late Chief Rabbi Harris of blessed memory, he lived in St. John's Road in Houghton.
Mm.
And one Shabbos, once a year, they would walk all the way from Glen Hazel to Houghton, to Rabbi Harris's house. And Rabbi Harris and late Rabbi Harris and Mrs. Harris would host the Selwyn Siegert residents.
Mm.
They had lunch there. They had an afternoon singing. And it was unbelievable. Levitic.
Yes.
And then only after Shabbos, then the bus from Selwyn Siegert would come and fetch them, because you couldn't expect them to walk all the way back in the dark.
Yes.
So that was Jack. He had such vision, unbelievable. But unfortunately, it took a strain on him.
Mm.
He, you know, after years and years working
like that,
he had a heart problem and one thing and another. And today I'm very pleased to also announce that you have now Mike Bohm, who's taken over. And to wish you, Mike, if you're listening or someone can give you the message, you just celebrated your 70th birthday.
Mazel tov.
So hearty mazel tov, Mike. Many, many more years in good health and in happiness.
Yes.
So
yeah, but now there's much more about Jack, because he wrote a book. And
The book.
What is this? Just a few moments on his early life.
Well, he started originally.
Didn't he fight in one of the wars?
Yes, he was.
Paratrooper.
It was during the
1956, I think. He told me.
Then he came back. He joined the South African Zionist Federation. He was in charge of the Youth Council for many years, the chairman of the Youth Council. Very involved with all the different, he was chairman of youth. So he would go to all the different summer camps, the Machane, whether it was B'nai Tzion, or whether it was Beitar or Habonim, or the B'nai Kiva. He would go around as the inspector of that. And then, as I said, he was in charge of the Youth Council. And then a few years later, he was headhunted and he was asked to join the Selwyn Siegel.
Mm.
Because the Selwyn Siegel originally started in Kensington in a street called Pandora Road.
Mm.
I don't know, it went a house. I can still picture it today because I used to go there. And we were on that very first committee when we were still in matric.
Mm.
In 1954, they formed a committee, a young youth committee. And I remember it very clearly. And there was the late Mr. Rothbart and all Shapiro and all the others. And there was also Annie Struck as well, very, very involved. Then Jack, then they moved to Selwyn Siegel here.
So Selwyn Siegel.
His name's after Selwyn Siegel, the youngster, whose father and mother was Fanny Siegel, and the father. And the child had, he wasn't, unfortunately, had a bad,
Physically or physically disabled or mentally?
Not mentally, physically.
Yes.
His bones, you would touch them, they would break. I don't know what you call that.
Yeah, like a severe osteoporosis.
Yes, something like that, yes. He wasn't...
they call brittle bone syndrome.
Brittle bone,
Yeah.
So they formed this home so that they could look after him.
Okay, so this is fascinating. So the Selwyn Segal today was founded by... Parents, plus a few other members of the community, for Jewish children then who had physical and mental handicap. Because this
is a handicap. That's the word I should use.
Because I think it was Mandela, but it goes back. I'm sure is that the sign of a great society is how they look after their weakest. Because these people are physically and many of them mentally disabled. Some of them are totally dependent. I saw the most horrific residents there. What I mean? But that how you look after, if you push them away, then they end up on the street. But you look at just our societies here, not just Selwyn Segal, but women who are infertile, because infertility treatment is huge. There is that fund, and everything in between.
Then
there's something deep in our genes.
Now, let me just tell about Jack Shapiro. Jack Shapiro would treat each and every one of them as a person who is normal and individual. Yes. He said, you must look at it as this. In their eyes, we look abnormal. We think they are abnormal. That's what Jack would just say.
What a shift in mindset.
That's what Jack was to do. Now, Jack was such an expert. He didn't have a degree in whatever the science it is. But... he was invited all over the world to talk because of all his innovations. He even went to a university in Los Angeles where he lectured, and they started a home in Los Angeles similar to Selwyn Segal, which they called New Horizons. Mm. And it was such a success, but it was based on all Jack Shapiro's ideas.
Yes.
Right.
He's worldwide influence, because he was dedicated, he was pure, his intent was pure, but he also understood who his quote unquote his customer. They see us as abnormal. Very interesting.
Right, we're taking a break. We'll be coming back in a moment.
Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
20 minutes to 10. So we're talking all about the late Jack Shapiro, but I must mention, we also have to give full credit to his late wife, June, who supported him to the hilt.
Yes.
She was unbelievable as well, and his family. Mm. Now, we're talking about righteous tzaddikas, people in the community. I also want to mention another lady on a different level, Mrs. Lessem. And she ran the Hachnosis Kala for years to see that every bride would get a dowry, what do we call it when you have a big kist full of all your... Now, if any of our listeners want to add anything, please text us 34519, or you can phone in on 074. Oh, that number's changed now. It's now 010-140-4090.
I think that's a fiber number.
Yeah,
it's
right. She would see that they all get it.
Mrs. Lessem.
Lessem. And she would collect bridal gowns and the linen and everything.
Some clothes.
Not only necessarily the clothes, like tablecloths and bed sheeting and everything like this. And the person who supported her was the late Rabbi Aloy. He would go to every one of their meetings, their annual general meetings, or if they had an emergency meeting, or if he knew of a bride or something like that. She was absolutely unbelievable. And then, as I mentioned, there was the late Blumi Friedman.
Let's skip on with this, Mrs. Lessem, because I think this thing of looking after
brides
is, of course, in the moment, every society has those poor. But, when we were much bigger, we had, if you look at the Arcadia, it had 300 people there at its height. Now it's by maybe 4 or 5. But we still have a poor. There are people that just can't make it.
Correct.
And, with the cost of living and everything that goes with it, when it comes to marrying off your daughter, it's not just the wedding.
Right.
It's they have to start a home. And as you said, linen, a simple thing like a cushion or a cup or a knife or whatever it might be, is that costs money.
Right.
And there's not many parents that can do that. And you're saying there was a fund. And once again, this remarkable society that's not legislated, it's not a tax, it's just in our genes of people that can give, we give to the needy. But you had somebody who saw that there was no corruption.
Correct.
There was no corruption. They often did this in honor. Okay, Jack Shapiro got a salary, but they did this. It was clear that your rand that you gave, when probably it was five cents that were costs, and 95 cents went to the cushion.
Correct.
In many of these places, there's absolute corruption where they're giving themselves these huge salaries.
Right. And you know, also, take the Arcadia, the Jewish orphanage. Trousseau, that's the word I was looking for.
Trousseau.
The trousseau, yes.
Yeah.
You have they used to get a big kist.
Yes.
Like a suitcase, a very big one, full of all the linen, a trousseau. Yeah. Thanks for that.
Yeah. Also, just by the way, is many invitations to weddings now.
Yes.
They'll say, instead of giving this or that, is
it goes to a specific shop.
And that's also part of a trousseau, which is from a cushion to a kettle to
Then you know what gives to give, and they don't duplicate.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Now, we take Arcadia. Now, for example, in Arcadia, we had the late Bella Lubner. That's the late Bertie Lubner's mother, Mari Lubner's wife, of blessed memory. She gave so much to the Arcadia Jewish Orphanage.
Yes.
Unbelievable. And then you had two people living there. The one was Tiki Klavansky. I'm sure many have heard heard the name. He's hours. Yes.
Yeah, he taught me Latin.
Yeah. And
he turned me off Latin.
He taught at Parktown Boys.
Yes, he was there for many
but
years.
But then he was the housemaster at the Arcadia, and he was unbelievable. And there was also a Dr. Lichtigfeld.
Oh, yes.
And Dr. Lichtigfeld, well, originally was in Germiston, a reverend there, and then he took over at Arcadia and he ran it for many years, and then Klavansky came. But they gave their life and their soul.
I would maybe for another show is Rabbi Klavansky, because Mr. Klavansky, he was at Parktown Boys, and he had an incredible record of getting boys there to get distinctions in Latin. Now, if you want to talk about inflation, there's something called mark inflation. Now, in my year, and we had some clever guys, the top Talmud in our school got 6 distinctions.
Yes.
The next one got 5. Then there were a few with 2 and 1. And if you got 1 distinction or 2, you often got into medicine. And that was often a Latin distinction.
Latin.
Not because of Latin, but you got a distinction.
And
I think Sidney Clavency, by drumming this Latin into them, set up these kids to get into university into the top degrees. So in a way, a lot of people can say that they, at least from Parktown Boys, that they became medical professionals because Sidney Klavansky got them into this way of thinking and discipline and routine, got a distinction, and that led them into, because you got used to get what I call the first class.
First class.
Over 60%. That meant you got into university.
But the standard,
now it's about 85%.
Yeah, but the standard was so high in those days.
Yes, because you got mark inflation now.
Mark inflation. Now, but also, today, without Latin, today you don't need Latin to become a doctor. Mm. You needed Latin in those days to even do law.
Oh, yes.
To do law.
Yes.
And today now I see the latest thing is they want to do away with maths. Mm. I mean, but let's not go in. That's another discussion. Now, you just want to talk about, you spoke about corruption and that. I just want to, as an aside, tell you something that happened this week. I have a very good friend whose son got a terrific job in Cape Town. So he left on Monday. But before he left, he made it arrangements so that when he arrived, he'd have a place where to go and stay, an apartment. So they did all the paperwork and they looked it up and everything, and they found the apartment in Cape Town. They sent down the deposit and everything. So he arrives there and finds it's a scam.
Yeah.
There's no apartment. This guy is absolutely a youngster, devastated. He paid, and I'm going to mention, he paid the deposit, the family, and they're battling, they're working. 6,000 rand.
Right.
And, he paid it into a First National Bank account. But you know what they do? They open the account for one day.
Mm.
You put the money in, the next day they draw out the money and they close the account. Yes. You can never trace them again.
Yes, yes.
Now, this happened to friends of mine. I'm just mentioning this on the side. The corruption that's going on in this country is unbelievable.
These are international scams. But the lesson here is never do something without having seen it. My sons have also done that in Cape Town, but I tell them, even with friends or cousins, whatever, go see the place.
Right. Now, so I just want to mention that. Now, I've got another text and I was going
to
mention
that. We have to make a list now, because what I would like to do, maybe over the next few months, get to our 36.
Okay.
But I would love the listeners
to... Okay, now, another text. I'm very happy because I was going to mention it. The one is Dr. Bessarabia and the other Dr. Getz. Now, Rachel Getz, you remember?
Is that how it's spelled? Not Bessarabia.
Bessarabia. Well, Rachel Getz was the daughter of the late Oscar Getz, and she's also passed on, who was the president of the Chevra Kedisha for many, many years.
Yes.
And Rachel Getz was a spinster, and she also did all the work for the Sandringham Garden. Well, in those days, it was known as the Dvartisron Jewish Old Aged Home.
Mm.
And there was another one we'll mention. I'll come to Dr. Bessarabi also as well. There was Dr. Mary Ann Gordon. And I think I've mentioned it to you when
There's
I spoke about the loafer. She was the superintendent of the Johannesburg Hospital, you know, when it was in its prime. Really, it was the top hospital.
Yeah.
And as I said, we'll take a break in a moment. She was the niece of the famous Rabbi
Gordon
Tells Yeshiva. So we'll come back in a few moments.
Reflections of the Past with Isaac Resnick, exclusively on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome back. I played that specially for all the women, Aisha Schuyler, and the ones we've been talking about as well, and it was Adam Davis. Absolutely superb. Now, I just want to read, I got a few texts. Dr. Getz would do house-to-house calls to the less fortunate in Dorfontein and look around the house and notice their needs. Without saying anything, she would ring up the Lubners or L.K. Hurwitz and get them to deliver mattresses, batteries, free of charge to those in need. Now, I'm sure everybody knows the Lubner family, the L.K. Hurwitz family. Just to remind you, they owned a bicycle business. I'm sure many remember.
Can you just read that one again slowly? Because that is a magnificent thing. Dr. Getz,
You do it.
Dr. Getz would go to do house calls for the less fortunate in Dorfontein and look around the house and notice their needs without saying anything. That's the most important thing. He would ring up the Lubners, she would ring up the Lubners or whoever, L.K. Hurwitz, and get them to deliver a mattress or batteries or free of charge for whatever. That's an Eishet Chayil.
Yeah. Now, I got another one. Hello, Isaac. Thanks for mentioning and quoting Klavansky quote. Well, thanks to him, at Parktown Boys, I majored 3 years in Latin while doing my legal BA at WITS. And this is from Avi. And then another one. Bessarabia is the correct spelling. I am the great nephew.
Who could that be?
They don't tell you who it's from. Craig. And I just want to mention, you know, there were two brothers, twins, right? I'll mention them in a moment. Dr. Getz was the wife of Dr. Bessarabia. Then there's one here. Did you describe the scrapbook I sent you across to the studio with newspaper clippings from the Six-Day War? Well, that's sent it to Howard Feldman. I'll get that.
And it's Ian Bessarabia. So is that the
Ian Bessarabia is the nephew.
The great
nephew.
Okay.
Right. Now, I just want to mention that... I just had a senior moment here, what I was talking about.
But while you were saying that, I was listening to that beautiful music. I was crying. I just listened to it because there's an Eishet Chayil, which we sing when you come home from shul on a Friday night.
Right.
But there's also Eish Chayil.
Yes.
A man of value. And
Of valor.
And I found these stories remarkable because people just do it from a pure heart. It's not a position.
Right.
They're not getting paid for it. It's just in their soul.
Right. Two brothers, twins, went to Parkland Boys High School. also were taught Latin. Both became headmasters, one at King David Victor Park, one at King David in Linksfield, and both taught Latin, and their teacher was Klavansky.
Yes, and right. those twins were?
The twins are Jeffrey and Elliot Wolf.
There we
As
go.
A matter of fact, I met
there
one of them yesterday at the hypermarket.
Yes.
Right. So I just want to remind you.
There we are, Wolf twins.
There we are, Wolf twins. There we are. I just want to remind you that Shabbat comes in at 6:15, the latest time, 6:28. Pasha Vayishlach terminates 6:22 p.m. We have this program repeated on Sunday morning just after 9. We have the Art of a Cantor on Sunday between 4 and 5. And then, of course, next Tuesday we have Talk of the Town between 9 and 10. To thank Craig for controlling, to wish Dr. Moch and his family a Shabbat Shalom, and everyone out there as well, have a wonderful week. Enjoy the rest of the week. Thank
Shabbat
you.
Shalom. Thank
it's
you very
a pleasure
much.
Being in your company.